This is the Geek News Central podcast for Friday, February 18th, 2005. Welcome to the podcast.
Attention! Attention! A special news bulletin is about to commence. You are being instructed to turn the volume up for this special announcement from Geek News Central. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Aloha, everybody, and welcome to the 40th edition of the Geek News Central podcast. And it is Friday, February 18th, 2005. Can you believe it? 40 shows. I didn't think we'd get past 10, but we're at 40. And I'm real happy about it. 40 is kind of an interesting number for me because, for those of you who don't know, I turned 40 last year. And on my 40th birthday, I spent it on my belly in an operating room, having my back sliced open and having two titanium rods put between C13 and L2 to support my destroyed L1 vertebrae that almost paralyzed me. Of course, I guess there's not, you know, it's not like horseshoes where you almost, it is kind of like horseshoes, you almost, you know, it was close. You know what I'm trying to say. But anyway, so let's hope that this show goes a lot better than my 40th birthday did. And we're glad that you're with us. Aloha. And as we say here in Hawaii, we want to thank the Ohana. And Ohana being the family that you are, that are listening to the podcast. A lot of you have been with us from day one. Some of you are new listeners, and we want to, if you're a new listener, welcome to the show, and we hope you keep us in your subscription queue or keep downloading this, however you're getting the show. We're having fun, and we're going to have fun tonight, and boy, I have a list. I've got a great new segment to go through, and let's see, what have I got here? Okay, today, my wife and I, I've been telling you that my wife's getting ready to go to Japan now for about a month, and we think she's going to leave tomorrow. She's been on standby, and finally it looks like the standby flight, she's going to have space to get on a airplane tomorrow, so her and the youngest will hopefully be out of here so she can get over to Japan and visit her family, and we're keeping our fingers crossed on that. I'm kind of apprehensive about being Mr. Dad for the next month to 6 weeks while she's gone, staying here with the two older ones, taking care of them. But hey, you know, I've traveled so much over the last 10 years. She deserves a little break and to get away and have fun. And I try to let her hair down and get away from the, turn the baby over to grandma and have a good time. So we'll see what happens. Now, Tuesday, when you guys listen to the show, you have no idea the amount of pain I went through to get that show up. The recording went good. We got all, and if you remember correctly, I was late. I was really late that night getting the show ready. It was like almost midnight by the time I had it all encoded. I'd gotten it, actually it was probably after midnight that I'd got it uploaded to the server. I had all the show notes put in, and I hit post on the weblog to get it up, and the post went okay, but the RSS 2.0 feed has the enclosure in it, for some reason did not show the enclosure. So I messed around and tried to figure out what's going on, and I got to looking in my log files, and I found that we were also not pinging sites. So I had remembered last year I'd had some problems with the host that we were on, in that he was running an older version of Perl, and it was failing on some of the, he had basically pointed us to a different directory to fix the problem. He had pointed us to a different directory with a newer version of Perl. Well, I knew what the path to the old line of Pearl was, and I put that in on my CGI scripts about an hour into the troubleshooting and reposted it, and sure enough, it picked it up. But the problem is I'm using a movable type blacklist to keep the comment spammers from slamming me, and they are just, it's ugly what these guys do. But within about, what it did is it broke movable type blacklist. So I had no spammer protection. I had enclosures up, but I didn't have the spam list working. And when I would switch back to the Pearl, the spam list would work, or the blacklist would work, but the enclosures wouldn't. So, of course, I begrudgingly, about 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe 2:30, called the hosting provider, supposed to have their tier level 1 or tier 3 or whatever it is, their top tier service tech support is supposed to be available 24/7. And, of course, I get a guy on the telephone that doesn't know a server, let alone, what my issue is with this Pearl. Well, today is, it's Thursday evening. Show's getting ready to be posted. Movable type blacklist is basically still not working. The I've disabled trackbacks in order to make sure that the podcasts get up and I don't have this issue. And I was so I've had some issues with these guys for a few months, and it's went downhill. And I have a friend over at GoDaddy, and I contacted him and because they had been advertising, of course, all these servers and stuff that for their Super Bowl special. And I had said that I was going to put my money where my mouth was and go over there and support those guys. And I have done just that. So within the next week, we have some new host records for DNS propagating throughout the internet for all the domains we're going to move. And sometime next week, the Geek News Central website will move over to a dedicated server. It's not a true dedicated server. It's one of those virtual dedicated servers. It's real close. You still have, it's like a dedicated server, except you maybe there's 8 of you sharing a server instead of 200 on a server, and it's cheaper than me having just one by myself. I couldn't afford that. And I've had kind of an eye-opener for that, because I'm not a Linux guy at all. I'm a professed geek, but I just don't know Linux, so I had to reach out, and luckily Chris McIntyre over at Podcast Alley has a friend who is a pretty good Linux guru, and he got in there and fixed some of the stuff up and got some modules loaded for us that we're going to need for PHP. We still have some Pearl issues for some reason. If there's anybody out there that is a diehard, hardcore Linux guy that would like to help me out and get an SSH connection into my server to take a look and see what's going on, I would definitely appreciate it. Send me an email and see about getting you hooked up. Maybe you can help me get over my last hurdle before we fully turn that server on live. And with that, since we are going to put that server is basically, I can do whatever I want with it, I'm going to also install a BitTorrent tracker. So I'm going to offer up to all podcasters out there, when this tracker comes up, as long as you're running podcast safe music, and that podcast safe music has to have a Creative Commons tag to it. If you're downloading it from GarageBand and the artist isn't displaying a Creative Commons license, you're not going to qualify. So you have to run true podcast safe music. And we'll let you on the tracker. Probably gonna make people sign an agreement, in the whole 9 yards, that they won't put copyrighted material. You know, the tracker is only just a little portion of the file, but you've seen what happened to these other tracker sites. So we don't want to get ourselves in trouble. Okay, run down the list here real quick, because we're already 9 minutes and 30 seconds in, and I got a whole bunch of news to get in tonight. If you want to become a bandwidth sponsor, what we're looking for, and it's not just for me, I have enough bandwidth, I think, on the server, and I can buy more. I can buy up to, I can buy it in 500 gig increments. And what we're thinking about doing is, I put this, you know, I've got probably, and along with the other servers I've got more than enough bandwidth to support me probably for the next year. And I've got a little bit to spare. So what I'm thinking about doing is going out there and searching out two or three podcasters that are good, that maybe are having some hosting issues. And I may offer up free space on my server for them to get started. And what I'm looking for, and I don't want anything right now, but what I'm looking for in the future is if we get to a point where we're going to start running into a bandwidth crunch, I'm going to be looking to do like a have someone be a bandwidth sponsor for a month. And what that's going to do is it's going to allow you to buy us or the, you know, the small group of podcasters that I'm going to put on this server a block of bandwidth so that we can help people in the community out. And you can be an individual, you can be a business. I'm not going to promise that you're going to get all this kind of advertising or nothing like that, but we may put a link up to your site on our website as a show of appreciation to help to, you know, basically say thanks for being a bandwidth sponsor. I don't need the bandwidth right now. So as soon as we get this implemented, I'll let you know. And if we run into a problem, I'm going to do a shout out to all you guys there. And hopefully a few of you will want to come on board and be a bandwidth sponsor. And probably what it's going to equal out to is we will look for a monthly, and it doesn't, you don't have to do it for a whole year, but we're going to want to do like a $30 a month type of a promotion where you commit to a $30 donation, and that basically is going to buy me 500 gigs of traffic. And that will, you know, that will help some of these new podcasters that maybe not are not as fortunate. Okay. Now, that being said, I did have a criticism from one of the listeners, and he said he's going to leave us because we ran the ad last week. And I just want, you know, I wrote him a pretty nice email back. I hope he took it as nice. I felt that the little 20-second spot that we did for our sponsor last week and the one before wasn't too intrusive because, you know, I'll be honest with you. I am a dad. I've got a family, got a house, car, got a car payment, just like everyone else does, feed the family. And I am not, besides the deal I've got with Marquee, and that is something that, you know, I have used to supplement what's going on here, which that's going to end soon. I am really not out to make money on this in the advertising. We're charging $20 for independent websites, and small businesses get a real cheap cutthroat advertisement on the podcast. And now if someone comes in like Pepsi or something like that, then they're gonna have to pay. But if you guys didn't like the advertisement, let me know. But hey, I'm trying to pay for bandwidth. Now, I asked you all to send me your issues that you're having with consumer problems. And I got an email from Mark and Lucy on Wednesday, February 16th. And I want to tell you their story. I'm going to read his email verbatim. And he's got a Verizon issue. And it basically, this is what he has to say. My Verizon issue is with their wireless router unit. I've called a bunch of times in an effort to debug the issue. At first, they blamed it on my 2G phone, so I unplugged it. Then it was my microwave. Unplugged that as well. Simply put, I can lose my wireless connection around 20 to 30 times an hour, and then I can go for 2 or 3 without any issue. I'm assuming 2 or 3 hours. I've shut off web, encryption, everything. I still get dropouts. So after calling them a bazillion times and asking their questions, they transfer me to Westel, the maker of their units, only to be told that they don't support customers. It's Verizon's job. So now I have to convince them to send another router wireless unit to see if that is the issue. Luckily, the Cat 5 cable is rock solid and never drops. But what's the point of advertising wireless when I sometimes get so frustrated because my IM or Skype keeps disconnecting? So that's my Verizon issue. Unfortunately, you have to go in for a year. So when that year is up, I will definitely search other DSL providers and buy my own quality router and such to get a solid and stable wireless network. Hey, Mark, I guess the thing that I would say to you is call Verizon and say, hey, I'm going to go to CompUSA. I'm going to buy my own wireless router. And I'm assuming this is DSL. I'm going to go ahead and buy my own wireless router. You guys come get yours. You give me a few bucks back if you're charging me for rental on the one that I am. And I'm going to try a different wireless router. It sounds to me like you're having maybe interference with another neighbor that's got another wireless router. You know, the wireless is kind of funny. You know, when I was in my old house, I was in a, it was concrete, cinder block. And it would, I couldn't get a signal from the kitchen up until the bedroom, which was, you know, tape measure wise, maybe 30 feet, but around a couple of corners. It's just real funny. Now, here that I'm in my new house, I'm sitting on the second floor. I have a window facing the ocean. I can actually pick up like seven other people's wireless networks in the neighborhood. So you may be interfering with someone else. And if you're not real familiar with these routers and how they work, you know, try getting in there and changing the configuration so that you're on a different channel. If it's being forced to a certain channel, that might be part of the problem. So check that out. Wireless is funny. And if all else fails, you know, hardwire the damn thing. Just get rid of the wireless and run some Cat5 to your computers. And I know it's easy to work, and it's nice to be able to work in the kitchen or down in the living room. But if it gets totally frustrating, run a cable, and that's what I've done here. I very rarely use the wireless exclusively. Okay. And if anybody's got any suggestions for Mark, hey, call into the voicemail line at 619-342-7365 and leave your comments, or you can call me on Skype and leave a voicemail at Geek News Central. Of course, you can always send an email to geek@geeknewscentral.com. Okay, I got to get into the content. We are 17 minutes, and this is going to run long, so we'll see what happens here. And yes, we didn't get a dropout tonight. Good. Everything's good. Now we'll open up the other application. I'm talking to you here as I'm doing this. All right. Google is emulating Microsoft. Do you guys remember a couple of years ago when Microsoft was trying to, they put it basically an interpreter into Internet Explorer where every time a web page would come up, they would add hyperlinks to words. And it basically would either link back to articles or advertisements or that kind of stuff. It's called smart tags. It's a smart tag feature. I guess Google, in their new desktop plugin, is going to be doing the same thing. I think this is a bad, bad, bad move by Google. I don't understand what they're thinking there. You're putting that into the Google toolbar. It's in their latest beta. Now, fortunately, I am not Internet Explorer user. I'm a Firefox user, and pretty much that Google toolbar is for exclusive Internet Explorer use. This is just another reason, folks, to move to Firefox. Firefox has a great search window built in. You just go up in the little right-hand corner, you type in your Google search or whatever, you know, you can click down and change the search engine you want to go to. Just another reason to go to Firefox. And if I doubt any of you guys are on Internet Explorer anymore. But if you are, make the move. And if you're using Google Toolbar, let me know what you think. And if you've uploaded it to the new, you know, upgraded it to the new beta, I'd be real curious to see where those link backs are going to. But, you know, Microsoft was basically scolded pretty hard on that. And so far, the outrage, well, this thing may take a few days as well, but we'll see. And, all right, CBS News. And I don't normally get a lot of news from CBS News, but I do. This made the day pop list. There's a lot of people that are buying these hybrid cars, and they're saving a lot of money by, you know, getting this outrageously good gas mileage, 60 miles a gallon. You know, it's electrically supported. And states are starting to worry that they're going to start losing income tax or gas tax because of all these hybrid cars. So now what they're considering doing is instead of you paying your highway taxes within your at the pump, every time you, what they're thinking about doing is changing it up so that every time you go to get charged or get fuel, it takes an odometer reading and your tax gets added right into your fill up based upon how many miles you've drawn, you've driven. So, of course, obviously, those of you that have these hybrids, you know, you can go a long ways on a tank of gas, but, you know, they will still want to get, you know, you let's say you can drive 1,000 miles on a tank of gas, where my car only do 250. So, you know, I'm paying the gas tax four times to get refilled for your one tank of refill. But now they're trying to equate the equation all on miles. Oh, man, this is going to piss a lot of people off if they do this. So, yeah, interesting thought, you know. So now we're going to get, we're going to think about it. Hey, driving down the road, well, honey, that mile just cost us 0.3 cents. Oh, they're going to tax us to death. That's the only, you know, you can't even get away from taxes when you die. Okay, there's a article on space.com, and the article came out on the 16th. And what they're talking about is that a pair of NASA scientists have told a group of space officials at a private meeting that they have found strong evidence that life may exist on Mars. So they think it's in hidden away in caves that could be filled with water. So it's interesting that these scientists are coming up and they're saying, yeah, there's life out there on Mars. So I guess now we'll see what happens here. But, of course, I'm sure it's going to be microscopic life. And who knows what else they're going to find, biological organisms, that type of things. But pretty cool on the science front. I think we all kind of all suspected that after they've pretty much concluded that Mars at one time was a water-bearing planet. In the comical news, I guess, today, and it's actually in the business section of the SeattlePI.com. There, do you guys remember Microsoft's chairman, or actually Bill Gates? Mr. Bill Gates' doodle pad was scooped up by someone and was psychoanalyzed. Well, he had some brief he was giving, and he put a spoof up on a PowerPoint presentation that has a basically a rendition of his sketch pad they had up there. And it's kind of funny. He's got in here, they've got a highlight in a little window with it exploded, and it's in a box that says, "Why does Bill Clinton get to sit next to Angelina Jolie?" Well, that's a good question. You know, he's basically Bill Gates comedy, you know, so a little dry humor from a geek. But someone snapped a picture of that and put that up on a website, so I think it's kind of funny. It's good to see the man still has a somewhat of a sense of humor, even though it might be a little dry. Great article out on the blogger sphere on what is going on with who has what type of percentages. And I think there's some pretty interesting statistics here. Blogger accounts for 35% of the web blogs out there. LiveJournal is 20%. TypePad, which is a product of Six Apart, has got 18%. And then it goes down through some weblog applications that I was not even really familiar with. And it goes down all the way to Radio Userland having like 1%, and WordPress having 2%, MobileType having 3%. But it's interesting read in its entirety to see who's the king of the hill on the blogger sphere right now. It is interesting that Blogger's still doing as well as they have. I would have thought a lot of people would have migrated from it. I don't read a lot of blogs, it seems, that are on Blogger. So I don't know if there's a lot of blogs there that are just not active. I know I've got a couple of blogs on Blogger that haven't been updated in a couple of years easily. Okay, you probably all have already heard that Firefox went over 25 million downloads this week. And it actually happened on February 15th, 99 days after it was released. They are commemorating that with a coin. There's only going to be 100 of them produced. So there's going to be a few lucky people that are going to get these cool coins. And I'm sure a few of these are going to show up on eBay at some point, because someone will want to sell one. congratulations to the Firefox team. And you know, you guys have heard me talk about Firefox every time they've ratcheted up a number. And I just want to keep you guys informed and let you know that, hey, their numbers are still climbing and they're still out there. Okay, so a little sip of tea. Okay, now, in the most interesting post that I have read today, and I have not been reading very many weblog posts as of recent. I have actually, today was the first day since the last podcast I had sit down to read any weblog posts. I've been that busy. And I've got an article up here from Dave Weiner on scripting.com. And I have just got to read this because Dave Weiner is pissed. He's not saying he's pissed. Yeah, he is saying he's pissed. Check this out. 4 years ago, payloads for RSS. My company, Userland, has a product in development called My.Userland. On the desktop, this supports both sides of this format. We shipped it shortly after I wrote that piece. Next week, Wired, Next week, Wired may give Adam Curry an award for work that I, not he, did. I told them this is not cool. Haven't heard yet what they plan to do about it. They offered to give him a free dinner. Oh, what a slap in the face. I'll buy him my dinner, thanks. I want credit for my work. I don't mind sharing with Adam because he was part of the invention. I've never been cheap with crediting Adam, but to say he is inventor is just plain wrong. And by the way, I think Adam could fix this with one email. Now, you guys will remember, Dave is not doing a podcasting business with Adam. I wonder if this has something to do with it. But man, you know, Dave is Dave, and he will say what he has to say, and I respect him for that. And any man that is willing to lay his emotions and say what he feels out on the line day after day gets my respect. Some of you are going to say he whines, but you know what? No. He's got a valid point. And I've done a lot of research on this. If you've listened to, there's a couple of podcasts out there that talk about the history of podcasting. Talks about who was supposed to get credit or how it evolved. And there's a story out there that's right, and I believe Wired does have it wrong. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But Adam Curry is in New York. I guess he announced today on his podcast that he's having some podcasters in for a meeting. He's going to propose something to him, I guess. We'll see. I didn't get invited, but that's okay. We're going to do our own thing. And it's not necessarily, we're not out to conquer the world. We're just going to be out here and we're going to try to protect the interest of everyday podcasters. And hopefully the tech podcasters, we can all stay banded together and be a team and protect our own interests. Now, how many of you guys have got webcams that are set up to turn on when they detect motion and take a picture? Some chucklehead in the UK robbed a house. I guess he's a career burglar. But this guy's camera got this guy's picture. I mean, he got it good. Couldn't have been a better picture. So this guy is in jail. He's already been convicted. He got 11 months. I mean, this happened like, this guy got caught on February 4th. And he is in jail already. Does the justice system happen this fast in the United States? I don't think so. But this guy is a three-time loser. But, hey, technology to the rescue. And, you know, I had that on for a while. I had my camera turned on to detect motion. I traveled a lot. I was gone 200, 250 days a year. And I would put the webcam up so that it would take pictures as it saw motion. And it was in my office, so it was pointing down through a door that normally wouldn't catch. Actually, it was in my office, and my office door, when it was opened up, was in faced the kitchen. I could see into my kitchen from my office, and the house layout was really screwy in the last place we lived in. And we actually had made a, what would have been normally a dining room, we'd made that into an office. So I've got this camera pointing into the kitchen, and it snaps a picture, and I'm over in Japan. So I'm, you know, I wonder what the family's up to. So, and my wife knows the camera is set up to detect motion. And it only takes a couple of snaps every minute or something like that. But anyway, I'm going through the pictures and I see I mean, a picture that had been put up like 3 minutes earlier of my daughter climbing up on the counter. She had gotten it, and I could see which cupboard she had got into and exactly what shelf. It was just, you know, like catching somebody with their hand in the cookie jar. It was one of those types of pictures. So I really laughed. It was kind of funny. So I ran downstairs, and I got on the phone. I made an international call back to Hawaii, and my wife answered the phone, and I said, "Can I speak to Anna, please?" Which is my daughter's name. And Anna gets on the phone, and she was probably 4 or 5 at this time. And she got on the phone. "Hi, Dad. How you doing? How you doing?" I'm like, "Hey, Anna, why were you up on the counter in the kitchen, up in that drawer?" And you heard this big, long pause. And she's like, "Dad, how did you see me? You're not here. How did you know I was in there?" I say, "Don't you know? Fathers always knows best. Fathers have eyes in the back of their heads even when they're not home." Oh, man. Until she figured it out like 3 years later. And I think she figured out last year how I was doing that. She totally was freaked out. She couldn't figure out how Dad had seen her getting into that cupboard. But anyway, this burglar, he's in jail. He's in jail because of a camera. So I think it's great. So keep those cameras turned on, folks. Who knows what you're going to keep? But usually the burglars take the computers, you know. Yeah, they take their picture all right, but it's as they're walking out the door with it. Excuse me. All right. What do I have here? Oh, there's a guy on here. One of the podcasters wrote a little piece. And I will say this, I'm not even going to call him out, but I will. Brainwagon.org. There's an interesting article, and he basically said, how he's feeling, how he's a podcasting hippie or something like that. And I love the guy. He's got some great articles, but he talks down here. He slams me a little bit about why some people are more popular than others because they work harder than he does. And hey, if you're listening, I don't work harder than the rest of us. You know, I'm a glutton for attention, just like all the, you know, if you're a podcaster, you got to love to talk. And I know all of us are podcasters. If we don't love to talk, we wouldn't be doing this. It's just kind of the way we are. So I'll link to the article. You guys can read it and see. You get a good chuckle out of it. But I'm going to give him a little free publicity, put a link up to his site, and go visit it. Check out his podcast. And better yet, go over and vote for him at Podcast Alley. Let's get him up in the top 50 and make him feel better. Okay, here we go. Also, I want to give a little promo out to the MacCast. Hey, this is a great podcast. And I've been getting a lot of flack from you guys that are saying, "Hey, you're not giving the Mini a free shot. You know, the Mini is not a super powerful computer. Give it some time. It'll grow on you." And I keep getting all these guys that are like, "How's your switching going?" And even tonight, a buddy of mine in Florida, his name's Thomas, he says, "Hey, how's your experience with your Mini going?" And I'll be honest with you, in about 6 weeks, I will be able to dedicate some time to really playing with the Mini. And right now, I just don't have time. I've played around with it a little bit, and that's just it. I've played around with it. So, in another 6 weeks, maybe I'll try to go 1 week and use the Mini exclusively when I'm at home. I can't do it when I'm at work, but I'll give it a shot, and we'll see what happens. But the podcast, the MacCast, go check it out. Great podcast, and all kinds of good info on Macs, and I can't talk any more highly of it than that. All right, tax time. We're all have done our taxes. At least I hope you've done your taxes. If you haven't, for the last 3 years, I've used TurboTax Online, and I'll tell you why. For a while, I couldn't do my taxes online because I wasn't allowed because of the bracket I was in and the business stuff I had, and I had kind of shied some of that off, and my tax stuff had not been as complicated. But this year, again, my taxes were getting complicated. I thought, I told the wife, "Oh, we're going to have to hire somebody to do the taxes this year in order to make sure that we've got all the business stuff covered." And I said, well, they sent me an advertisement, said $9.95, get in there and give it a try. And for the majority of you, if you pull your hair out doing your taxes, sitting down and doing that drudgery, if you use TurboTax Online, it is the most pleasant experience. It's actually kind of fun. If you can't get through it in 45 minutes for a normal person doing taxes, then it's something's wrong. It doesn't take that long. It's pretty quick. Hey, they're not paying me to say this. I'm not endorsing their service by itself, but I am saying that TurboTax sped up my and made it filing taxes easy. You know, it was a no-brainer. And for the last 2 years, it's been like that. They've really got that service streamlined. You know, walk through and ask me the right questions. And for my business stuff, it reminded me I needed to have this and this and this on file. And I put those all in the little pockets that they're supposed to be. And it's all packed away and filed. And my return, and I am getting a return this year, should be in the mailbox here in the next few days. So we'll see. Okay, what else is next? There's a survey out that says adults under 30 likely to have an MP3 player. Hey, that's great for podcasting. I hope that it continues to be the trend. I hope those 30-year-olds don't throw away their MP3 players when they're 40 or they're 50. And if it does, this medium is here to stay, and we are going to truly make a difference in the way content delivery is delivered to you. And my folks are from a small town in Michigan, and they're out here on vacation right now. My sister lives in Hawaii also, and her husband is currently overseas working, but my folks are staying with my sister, and they take about 2 months every year and take a vacation. And of course, when my mom's here, she just loves it because she can get on broadband. They live in the country, and they don't have broadband access where they live. And I mean, when I grew up, folks, on a dirt road. We used to oil our road back in the days when you could still put oil on the roads before the EPA came in and said you can't do that no more to cut the dust down. And, you know, I grew up on a farm and cash crop, the whole nine yards. So, and I made quite the transition, a little farm boy that does tech out in Hawaii. But anyway, the town that I'm originally from, or closest town that I'm originally from, the big town, is called Coldwater. And that town has a municipal broadband network. And they've had it a long time. It's been in place for, at least 7 years. And they've got great speed. They have great co-location plans. I mean, it's relatively cheap just to, if you have a box, you put it in their co-location facility, put in a cage, you hook it up, and I mean, it is almost criminally cheap. And everyone loves it. It's a wonderful system. It's not controlled by Time Warner. They've got amazing speed, and for a little town, they are connected. Well, there was a broadband bill in Indiana that was shot down yesterday. And it's great to hear this, because these municipalities are going to be allowed to, in Indiana, are going to be allowed to have set up their own broadband. And I think it's great. You know, taxpayers have been subsidizing television, radio. They've been subsidizing these internet, not internet companies, these cable companies. You know, if they can build a system that is as good as the one in my parents, the town that my parents are closest to, you know, I think it's all good. It's, you know, it's these small towns that don't have access. And the town that is closest to Coldwater, I think the population of it's like 20, 22,000. So it may not be big enough for an organization like Time Warner or Comcast to come in and set up broadband for the community. I don't know how small of communities they have gotten down to back in the mainland, but, you know, this is perfect. So I'm glad to see this is happening. So if there's a municipal broadband proposal in your neighborhood, I've got nothing but positive things to say about it, and make sure you support it. Don't let these cable companies come in and say, we are going to have exclusive rights to do broadband in this community for the next 20 years, because a lot of communities have signed off to that, and they are stuck with a conglomerate that is controlling everything. You know, Hawaii is just the same. You know, Time Warner has the broadband market locked up. Now, they say they share with Earthlink. You can get a broadband account with Earthlink. but it's through Time Warner's line. So, you know, it's because they were forced. They were forced to do that. Man, we're 40 minutes and I am not even done. You know what? We're going to be long today, folks. So I apologize that we're running long, but that's the way it is. There's a court battle going on right now that basically talks about source protection, a blogger's right. And it's basically First Amendment rights to protect the confidentiality of their sources. And what could be the outcome of this is that, you know, reporters now get to protect their source. And in a few cases, they haven't been able to. But what could interestingly happen here is if the courts do what is indicated, reporters may actually lose their right to confidentiality because they are worried that they're not going to be able to afford all bloggers and those that set up websites for ill purposes. And you have to read the article to understand it completely. But this is a curious development. We'll see what happens. And I bet this one's going to go all the way to Supreme Court. Now, the music or the MPAA and what is the company that's going to be doing this? Macrovision is going to be releasing a new DVD with a new copy protection technology. sorry, folks. Macrovision, if you put that on the market and you say that it's you know, it's what your next iteration of copy protection is, I'll give it a year before someone breaks it. Maybe even not even that long. But they're going to do that. They're going to push this new copy protection, copy proofing of DVDs. So, again, another slap in the face for us that want to have fair rights use. You buy a DVD, and by the letter of the law today, you cannot copy it, even if it's for your own personal backup. You know, isn't that a crock? That's a good old DMCA for you. All right, Sony. Bless their hearts. You know, they were the hardcore. They were the ones that came up with Sony Walkman. It was so popular back in the day. Well, now they have finally got on the bandwagon, and their new Walkman is on the market. The MZ-RH10 mini disc player is going to support direct playback of MP3s. So finally, this is going to happen, and they're adding native MP3 support to more of their players. So it's finally that this. It's a long time coming, and we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But I think the little unit looks pretty cool, and if it's got a screen like that, that could make some inroads. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. Okay. Microsoft has released a update for its Windows Media Player to protect users from a known threat of spyware infection. This article came out on the 16th. So those of you that are using Windows Media Player as on a regular basis, go out there and get this update. I'll link to the site. Now, my website. There's a whole bunch of stuff on here that you guys should come and check out. And I want to talk to you. I know hopefully I got most of you still with me. I should have probably put this in at the beginning of the podcast. If those of you that are listening that are at your computers, I want you to look at your podcast aggregator right now and look at the RSS feed that you're pulling this. And if you're getting an MP3 file from us, I want you to make sure that you are using the podcast.xml extension. If you're using index.xml, I need you guys to switch that, get off that RSS feed, and go to podcast.xml for only your podcast aggregators. There's a post up on the site. Scroll down a little bit. You'll see it. I'll put it up in the show notes. I need everyone to get switched over to that so that I can be assured that you're going to get all the shows. We're putting so many articles on the Geek News Central website that within about 6 or 7 days, the article gets pushed off the... Actually, not even that. Within 2 or 3 days, the article gets pushed... The podcast gets pushed off the index.xml. And I don't want to carry 50 total links in the regular aggregator feed. I only want to carry like 20 or 25 at most. 15 would be best. So if I can get you guys all moved, then you won't lose the podcast. Because I know a lot of people are basically saying, hey, I lost a show. And I went from 37 to 39. What happened was maybe they didn't update within a couple of days after the show was up, and they were offline for whatever reason, but they were on the index XML link, and they missed the show. So podcast.xml for the MP3 users, WMA.xml for the WMA listeners, OGG.xml for the OGG listeners, and those few of you that are using the torrent, it's torrent.xml. We'll put that up on the website. We're at 45 minutes, no music tonight. We're going to have to get this in the bag, get this out. As always, thank you for listening to the podcast, and I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. This is number 40, and hopefully we will have 400 more in the future, and I'm looking forward to the next podcast where I will be with you Tuesday morning. So send your comments to geek@geeknewscentral.com. Make sure you visit the website at www.geeknewscentral.com. And we are definitely going to be making that move shortly, so you shouldn't see any interruption service. And if you do, don't fret. But I think we've got the strategy worked out where there will be no downtime. You may have 12 or 15 hours of no posting on the website, but that should be no big deal. Skype me at Geek News Central or call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. I'm Todd. I am the geek from Geek News Central. And you have been listening to the Geek News Central podcast. Have a great, great weekend, everyone. And we will see you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. Bye-bye.